topic for today, I was thinking about, again, how that this even relates, which usually, for, I say for some reason, I know what reason, we're tying into sermonette and sermon here today. I'd like to ask this question. This is really an enemy of friendships. It's actually one that divides friendship. So see if you can interpret this riddle. What am I talking about here today? Who am I? I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cruel and malicious and gather strength with age. The more I am quoted, the more I am believed. Have an idea yet? I flourish at every level of society. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I'm nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never the same. I topple governments and ruin marriages. I destroy careers and cause heartache and sleepless nights. I wreck churches and separate Christians. I spawn suspicion and generate grief. Make innocent people cry on their pillows. Even my name hisses. Who am I? Isn't it interesting when I read through that, when you really look at that to see the damage that this does? One advantage, by the way, always to doing, whether it's a personal Bible study or preparing for a sermonette or preparing for a sermon, it gives the one doing the study an opportunity to really take a look at this and then to take a look at in the mirror. How does this apply? And as I read this, I'm almost terrified to going, have I ever caused this pain to someone else, that someone we don't even recognize? Because sometimes we may slip. For some reason, we may justify this word called gossip that divides, that hurts so painfully. And I was going to ask too, but no hands, of how many of you have really been affected by this gossip, the pain of it. How painful and hurtful that it is when you found out that somebody maybe said something about you that isn't true, or if it was, it was unwarranted to even say anything about it. It's very critical that we as Christians, because we use these tongues so often and have so many reasons sometimes to talk about someone else, and it's easily justified. Sometimes we really don't take that sin of gossip as seriously as we should. I'm trying to think of a title of this from the point of gossip. Don't be Satan's ally. This is what he uses to divide, to conquer. Who would ever want to be a friend of gossip when this is something that Satan uses so effectively? Again, sometimes some don't take that sin of gossip as seriously. We would if we maybe understood it better, because sometimes it seems small when compared to other sins. But it's certainly not a small sin to God. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 1 and see what he says when he encompasses this with so many other things. Romans chapter 1, and let's look at verse 28. Romans 1, verse 28, here it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting or suitable, filled with all unrighteousness." And look at the terms that he's using here: sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, evil deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers. Whisperers. See, that's easy to relate to, because we probably all have seen it, or at one time or another, maybe got involved with it. Because it's something that you want to say that you don't want maybe somebody else to say. Hey, did you hear about that? What about that over there? God looks at it as whispering, and he looks at it as evil. Backbiters. Haters of God. It's pooled there together with haters of God. Violent, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. It's so interesting, the time frame now. Do we realize the time frame that we're in now, this age of information, that we can do so many wonderful things with this internet, but we can do so many evil things with it too. Part of that is not only what we say, but what we write. I'm amazed sometimes still by Facebook. I do have a Facebook page. I don't even totally understand my Facebook page. I just told my wife, she said, I think at the beginning, which was a number of years ago, there's something about having a wall where people can post or write on it. I don't have a wall. I talked to somebody else this week about that also has a Facebook address, but they don't have a wall either. You want some kind of semblance of privacy. Some do. So some will do, they'll only have certain friends that can take a look at their page, because normally there are family pictures posted. You might even post on that, which I don't know how people have all the time to do that, but yeah, you know, I cleaned out my cupboards today. I just don't have the time to tell everybody of exactly what I'm doing every day. But some use it as kind of a communication thing of, you know, this is what I'm doing. And maybe it's, again, I'm not saying that that's evil or wrong per se. I'm saying is when something is posted on there, it can easily be transported. There you are. You just posted it out on what's called the web, and it can be retrieved. Somebody can get that. That can be passed on. And normally if it's something that has to do with somebody else, it's passed on. Oh, did you hear about that? Did you hear about that? Some interesting tidbit that sometimes people don't even think that it falls into the gossip realm when they pass it on. Did you ask if it was permissible to pass that on? Maybe it is. But again, there's that trap that some fall into, that when some, this is especially a trap for some of our younger ones. As they're talking about this person or talking about, oh, did you hear about what's going on over there? Look what's happening over there. More of our young ones obviously get on Facebook, but some of the adults I know do too. So it becomes a very dangerous type element to use to violate what God looks at as something very evil. It's not a small sin to God. But what is gossip? Random House College Dictionary points it as idle talk. Idle talk. Idle, what does it mean? Idle? I'm thinking of my car idling. It's not going anywhere. It's just talk. It's just talk. Idle talk or rumor, especially about the personal or private affairs of others. Talking about a person, true or not, and showing them in the less than positive light. Do you know why that happens? I think you would all probably know the answer to this. Why would you show somebody in less than a positive light? Because it makes you look better, doesn't it? That's the human nature vanity aspect that we've got to put in check. Now, there are times, of course, when the truth about others, however harsh, must be shared with a third party. It may be something that's to do with a sexual infraction that must be made known, or if we don't say anything, we could be held accountable to that. But it's a very cautious line to walk on. Those times are few and far between, and we should always exercise great care in talking to someone about a person or when a person is not present. Now, here's a key for getting a handle on gossip. It's information about another person, true or not, and showing them less than a positive light. The Hebrew word for slander means a bad report. Passing on a bad report about something. And it's interesting, as we go back to Genesis 37, it gives a picture here. As we look back at the time when God was working with certain people, and there was a young man here whose name was Joseph. Joseph was a favorite. You know, when I say that, as soon as I say that, you should be thinking, and there's a problem there then, isn't there? Because if you've got children and one becomes a favorite, what do you think is going to happen among siblings? No, shouldn't we treat? I would think we should treat all of our kids equally, no matter what their personalities, that we love them the same. And yet you see sometimes there was this favoritism, and whenever you did, it caused problems. So we find here in Genesis 37 and verse 2, it says, this is the genealogy of Jacob. Joseph being 17 years old, prime time for this, unless it's put in check. He was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. I can sometimes remember looking back at, I was the youngest sibling, and of course that was my tool, my weaponry to defend myself as younger. I'm telling, and that's when my brother and sister learned about bribery. My sister, in fact, sometimes would go, if you don't say anything, I'll eat your vegetables at the table. I couldn't stand vegetables at the time. So I would go, time, pass them on, under the table or whatever it might have been. Bribery. But I'm telling. Well, what do you think happened to Joseph here? When you look at this story, they couldn't stand Joseph. They hated him to the point where they were ready to kill him. Except God didn't allow it. But you know, this was not some kind of, you know, all of a sudden, well, he was a 17-year-old highly Christian boy. No, he was a 17-year-old boy that knew how to twist his brother's tempers. And he did. And it got worse because now God gives him a dream. He goes out to them and goes, hey, guess the dream that I saw. And you couldn't look at it any different because they would ask, so you're saying that you're going to be over us? Yep. Take that one. In fact, it wasn't only one dream. I had another one too. And he tells it to his dad. And his dad says the same thing. You got to be kidding me. You think you're going to be over us, you little twit. You've got to be kidding. But this was a dream that he had. And we can see again the reaction to the problem that he had. I mean, this would, if anything that I would learn from this and going back, and maybe we did do this when it talks about teaching your children diligently, you know, make sure Avery gets this one. I will tell to all young kids now, I was going, make sure they get this. Of course, that means you've got to have more kids then. So, to tell on your fellow brothers and sisters. But this one, I would say, watch out for this one. Don't become like this. I do know that with my wife and I taught our children that we love them all the same. We don't, and to this day, don't have favorites. So they're all the children. But these are the testimonies of things that we learn. If you got a favorite, you're bound to have some problems and cause some trouble. And of course, the gossip went, and Joseph fell into a bad report with his brothers. You know, there's another prime example over in Exodus chapter 22 that has more to do not with an individual but a group of people. It probably started with an individual. It always does. Someone passes on a report, and then I still remember the first time. I don't remember what day and date, but I remember when we sat around in a circle in my elementary school. I don't know what grade I was in, but we did that thing where you whisper it in somebody's ear, and it goes around the whole circle, and the person at the very end is something totally different that comes out. But you know, it's so interesting that you would think, well, this is a child's thing, and it ends up being an adult thing. It's exactly what happens. And we've experienced and seen that happen before. So we go to Genesis or Exodus 22, and we begin here in verse 10. I hope I've got the right one here. No, this is not the right one. I'm sorry. I'm not sure why I put Exodus, because I don't think it's there. It's Deuteronomy. And if I didn't get the scripture right, I'm going to have to go on and just talk about it. No. Nope. somehow I must have gotten the wrong verse. Here's what happens, and you know the story, because we've said it before. Israel now, after defeating probably Joshua, now that I think of it, after Israel gets to go into their own nations, and the tribe, the half-tribe of Manasseh, is going to go on the other side of the Jordan River. And when they do, they establish an altar there in thanksgiving to God. What do some of the other tribes do? They're building an altar. They're already into paganism. And it almost costs a war. When you look at this, when you find this actual chapter of Scripture, I'm not sure how I wrote this down wrong, but the point is when you take a look at this, this happened, and people were getting, I call it, and you've heard me call this before, this the Bonanza Syndrome. Because people all of a sudden rally, the one in the series of Bonanza would get put in jail. He didn't do anything, but he was accused of it. And then all the talk goes to the townspeople, and then they all gather up their fires, and they want the guy to be hung. And then Ben and Cross Cartwright are their only ones to defend this guy. I've seen it happen so many times, haven't you? But I mean, it's a prime example to what happens when gossip spreads. So it is Joshua. So now that I said that, you don't need to go there, and you want to study that a little bit later. But there was a law against this kind of thing that I'll go to that's mentioned in the Old Testament. The New Testament has two interesting words regarding this sin. One is called katalaleo. It's KATALALEO. Catalalio, that'd be a nice tongue twister for Spokesman's Club, meaning slander. The other one is pistis, P-S-I-T-H-U-R-I-S, and you're going to give up trying to write this down, meaning gossip or whispers. You can take a look at it in your strongest concordance, but one is catalalio, meaning slander, K-A-T-A-L, and another A-L, E-O, and pistoristis, P-S-I-T-H-U-R-I-S-T-A-S, meaning gossip, or as I brought before, is whispers. The only difference between the gossip and the slander is just simply a matter of degrees. Let me give an example. Suppose it that someone wanted to kill someone. There's more than one way to do it. You can take a shotgun, walk right up to their face, announce that you're going to shoot them, and then shoot them. That's slander. Or you could take a rifle with a scope, attach a silencer to it, hide yourself a safe distance away, kill them from a long distance, and they'll never know what hit them. That's gossip. Very interesting to look at it that way. So there are ways in which I would like to emphasize today, after we get through some of what the Bible says about this, of how we can effectively avoid it. Because after you read what this has done, who in their right mind would ever want to do it? And I suggest, since we're in a time of taking a look at ourselves, and because it's so easy to do this, not with only within our family, but within our church and within society as a whole. And when it comes to your attention, there's ways that you can effectively deal with it and talk about it so you can help others to see maybe something that they're not seeing and what they're doing. The Bible has much to say when dealing with the subject of gossip, and its impending doom on anyone who falls into the trap of employing it. Winston Churchill exemplified integrity and respect in the face of opposition. During his last year in office, he attended an official ceremony. Several rows behind him, two gentlemen began whispering, "That's Winston Churchill. They say he's getting senile. They say he should step aside and leave the running of the nation to more dynamic and capable men." When the ceremony was over, Churchill turned to the men and said, "Gentlemen, they also say he's deaf." That's from Barbara Hatcher from Vital Speeches, March 1st, 1987. Do you know, the Bible says twice, once in Proverbs 18, verse 8, go ahead and write that down, it's just a short statement, and maybe you can really feel this. Proverbs 18 and 26:22. You know, when the Bible repeats something twice, there's an impact and effect that's intended there. But it says the words of a talebearer are like wounds, and they go down to the innermost parts of the belly. Now, I remember knowing what that feels like. It's extremely painful and hurtful. And you probably do too, because I imagine everyone's been a recipient of that, as well as also dishing it out. And if I know what that feels like and how bad it hurts, how in the world would I ever think about doing that to anyone? And yet we don't think about that sometimes, because we never think that that first line of gossip is going to get beyond the first person we talk to. We think it's going to be safe. Now remember, don't tell anybody this. How often has that been successful? I would look at that probably 95% failure rate. I would say very, very few times, because I tell you, when you get that item of gossip, you feel such a need to pass on something that nobody else knows. And I've got a few tidbits, and then you realize, what good is it doing by this to pass it on? I don't know, the person's going to think that I know a lot. I'm the informed one. No, you're the gossiper of the entire town, is what it comes down to. A man named Pierre de Marivaux said, some people will believe anything if it's just whispered to them. Morris Mandel, in Bits and Pieces from June 1990, said, gossip is the most deadly microbe. It has neither legs nor wings. It is composed entirely of tails, and most of them have stings. Leviticus 19, let's go here to where God originally brought this up, because he knew, obviously, that it was going to be a problem. In Leviticus 19, verse 16, it says, you shall not go up and down as a talebearer among your people, neither shall you stand against the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. Leviticus 19:16. Now, to go a little bit deeper in understanding when he puts those together there, other scriptures will bring to mind, if you want to just jot these down, I'll read them to you. Exodus 23, verse 7 says, have nothing to do with a false charge, and do not put an innocent or honest person to death, for I will not acquit the guilty. In other words, nobody's getting away with anything. But be careful about what you do among the people as far as bringing false charges or supporting someone that brings gossip or false charges or slander against someone else. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 25 says, cursed is anyone who accepts a bribe to kill an innocent person. Then all the people shall say amen. Job 17, verse 5 says, if anyone denounces their friends for reward, the eyes of their children will fail. It's interesting how God looks at that. You know, if you were a parent and that's what you teach, what are you going to expect your children to be like? They're going to follow in the path. If that's the way that you are in your character, they might follow right along in that. Psalm 15, verse 3, it says, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, and casts no slur on others. What's that make you think of? Prison him here. He who ne'er with slandering tongue utters malice and deceit. Right along with that, we can remember some of these things when we sing these. So, is gossip a friend or a foe? Let's find some solutions to the problem of gossip. From, I believe this is an article called Hooray for the Yiddish. It says, if you don't say it, they can't repeat it. Yiddish folklore offers a telling tale about gossip makers. One such man had told so many malicious untruths about the local rabbi that, overcome by remorse, he begged the rabbi to forgive him. And rabbi, tell me how I can make amends, the man said. The rabbi sighed, take two pillows, go to the public square, and there cut the pillows open, and then wave them in the air, then come back. The rumor monger quickly went home, got two pillows and a knife, hastened to the square, cut the pillows open, waved them in the air, and hastened back to the rabbi's chambers. I did just what you said, Rabbi, he said. Good, the rabbi smiled. Now, to realize how much harm is done by the gossip, go back to the square and collect all of your feathers. Isn't that interesting? Can't be done. Once somebody's reputation has been slandered, and it's been done so long, we see it in public office all the time, I can't even imagine how anybody good or upstanding would want to run for a public office. How sad the predicament that Satan has gotten this country, that that's where it becomes. The integrity has fallen that low. See, understanding how devastating that gossip can be a deterrent. To understand how painful, how wrong that it is, to recognize that we actually ally with Satan if we fall into that trap. Sometimes, again, we don't think about that because it's just conversation that our tongue gets into. We all of a sudden we've fallen into the trap of realizing that we've said something about somebody and it's wrong. And so if we find ourselves, it would be good to collect ourselves and right away back off on that and go, I'm so sorry. I just said something about somebody that I shouldn't be saying. Doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. Now encouraging somebody or saying, wow, that Lane Parton is a great song leader. That's obviously something different. That's something very positive about or encouraging about something. Ecclesiastes chapter 5:1. Let's look here. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1. When I look at this, sometimes I wonder if I can give a sermon anymore. It is very difficult. I've always thought about that, to speak for an hour and not say anything wrong. Or actually look at it the other way, to say everything right. I would find that to be a miracle. It's so difficult. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 1, that's why I'm very grateful for prayers and asking God to inspire. And actually, when people give you the benefit of the doubt, I still remember a time when Mr. Salyer got up and told about the feast, and this is not a vacation, and I believe it was in my prayer that I said, well, help this to be a really good vacation. I have no idea how that slid out. I didn't recall that it did, but when I got back down to the seat, my wife said, do you realize what you just said? I said, no, what? She goes, you just said, help this to be a good vacation. I said, I didn't say that. And my mom looked at me and goes, yes, you did. And thankfully, within the context, I didn't see anybody come up negatively. People understood that sometimes, and you always appreciate getting the benefit of that. This is what, I know what he meant here. The tongue just slid. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 1 says, keep your foot, or that's where we get the term, watch your step. When you go to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they, the fools, consider not that they do evil. Talking so much about this over here, and vain jangling and idle talk and things of that nature. Be not rash with your mouth, and let not your heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For by the way, it reminds us, God is up in heaven, and you're on the earth. You think you know a whole lot? You're talking before the God that knows everything. See, the Pharisees were always quick to talk about things, and when you look at it, I find humorously that there's Jesus Christ that, by the way, spoke all those words that they valued in the Torah. You know, and he didn't go, by the way, guys, I'm the guy that wrote it. They were supposed to kind of connect the dots, and they never did. But they were always questioning him and go, well, what about this? And don't you know it says this? And the guy goes, yeah, I do know what it says because I'm the one who wrote it. And by the way, I'm also the one that gave you the ability to breathe on the face of this earth, but they never got it. So there are more testimonies for us. And it says, therefore, and here's an answer. Here's an answer. And it's really good to take a look at it for all of us. Therefore, you want to know a really good way to stay out of trouble? Let your words be few. Think about what you're saying. Think about how they're coming across. Think about how they may be taken. And yes, it's a challenge and a lifelong endeavor, but it's something that we have to be thinking about. Verse 3, it says, for a dream comes through the multitude of business. In other words, when there's a lot on your mind, I still wonder sometimes, maybe you do in your dreams. I would have this dream, which I don't remember very often, and I would tell my wife about this dream, and I'm going, I have no idea how this person got into my dream and where that even came from. But something has been buzzing or connecting or clicking, and this is what the scripture is saying. Dream comes to the multitude of business. And a fool's voice, it relates it to this because it says a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. Lots of talk. Lots of talk. And I wish I would have that clip by a comedian named Brian Reagan. He talks about me, 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 my, I. I've thought about that before. Have you ever talked with maybe a group of friends and they'll say, well, you know, I did this. And all of a sudden you go, well, you know what I did? So he ends up saying, you know, after all the talk is, oh, I did this, and I was over, and I rode on the Autobahn, and did this, and the title of the whole clip is called I Walked on the Moon, because he's sitting back there and going, well, I walked on the moon. How can you beat that one? And you've got a couple people that have done that, but it's always, you know, one-upping somebody else, the need to feel like I did something, or you think that was something. I've caught myself doing that sometimes. I go, pull back, wait a second, I'm trying to outdo this person, what's the whole, you know what I did, oh you think you did that, well I went over to, you know, I went to this place, well I went to China, you know, whatever it might be. See, again, what's our, it's not that it's wrong to share something, but looking at what it might do to the other individual, it may make them feel less important, do you see? Well, look at what they do. Oh, you know what I did? Well, I had one. Well, I had three kids. Well, I had 20 of them. You know, these kind of things that become competitive and not allow somebody to express, you know, happiness in something that they did. So, another point again. These are a lot of points we can take from this. I'm not going to necessarily number them because there are so many. Hopefully that one or two or three or four of these will help us to think maybe in different ways. So understanding how devastating that gossip can be one. Think about what you are saying before you say it. This is from a man named Alan Redpath it's called A Passion for Preaching. He said, I once formed a mutual encouragement fellowship at a time of stress in one of my pastorates. The members subscribed to a simple formula applied before speaking of any person or subject that was perhaps controversial. Now, I've heard some of these before, but he actually puts it into an acronym called THINK. So if you want to write this down, put THINK straight down your page, THINK, and we'll fill it with this. To think about before we talk, the T, is it what? True. Is it true? The H would be, is it? What do you think? Because I'm trying to get you to think too. Is it helpful? Is it helpful? Before you think, is it helpful? Yeah, I mean that's good too. You know, so I mean there might be more than one answer though. So don't think, you know, you'll get in trouble if you don't have the right answer, because there might be another good one too. The I, is it inspiring? Is it uplifting? Does it uplift? You know, we're supposed to, among each other, edify each other. Wouldn't it be something if we came in here, we're always talking negative about something else? That's why I can't listen to a lot of radio talk show anymore. I just had it with it. It's all negative news all the time. Why do I have to be informed that we're going down? I already know that. It's just that, you know, this is what we perceive, and I'm not saying don't listen to news and don't keep updated on watching, but be careful that you've got to fill some of your time with uplifting things, with good, positive music, something that will uplift you. Okay, the N, what would that be? Some of you have heard this one before. Is it necessary? Is it necessary for me to say this? As I said, there may be a time when you may need to go to somebody to say, look, I mean, if there's a sexual predator and it requires something for the safety of the congregation or other peoples, there'd be a time that would need to be exposed. The K, is it kind? Is it kind? The kindness. Think, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? If what I'm about to say does not pass those tests, he says, I will keep my mouth shut. He says, and it worked. And it worked. So kudos to Alan Redpath. Proverbs chapter 11. Let's just go through a few Proverbs to see how this is covered. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13, I think this is very important because sometimes when you see somebody that was caught maybe in an infraction, and it's been, especially if it's been repented about, the worst thing that you can do, the worst thing that would bring you under God's judgment is to pass something on that's been repented. Or somebody that sees that, oh, what I did was so wrong, and yet it's been passed on. How do you think the Israelites, those that were across the other side of the Jordan, felt when they were trying to do something good and thanking God, and they get accused of paganism? That had to be a horrible feeling. Wait, we didn't do that. Wait a second. But yet, well, all the gossipers were going around instead of maybe something. And now they eventually did. You'll see the story. They sent a contingent of people over to go, what's going on here? But, you know, the benefit of the doubt was not given. You know, because it was almost like a confrontation in anger. Proverbs 11, verse 13 says, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is a faithful spirit conceals the matter. It doesn't mean that you're hiding sin, by the way, because if it's something sinful, there's a requirement of what a Christian needs to do about that, but certainly not to be passing it on to everybody else. That's always the easy part. In my years of pastoring, the most difficult thing for people to have done is Matthew 18. And people have told me, it's just hard. I've been given excuses. Well, they just think it's too hard. Then they're not going to make it into the kingdom because you don't bypass God's laws that we may think are just a little too difficult for us. The Bible says, be of good courage and gird up your loins and do the right thing because I will be with you. And you're doing it to help a fellow brother, not to show where you were right. That's the entire mentality. A gossip betrays the confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. Proverbs chapter 20. Verse 19. Now there's other answers to gossip that these proverbs are revealing. One is concealing a matter. If you're a faithful friend, you don't pass on information that's not necessary or not true or not helpful or not kind. He that goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, don't meddle with him that flatters with his lips. You know, the best thing to do and to avoid is people that are like that. Mr. Hicks pointed out this is where it ties into a true friend. A true friend's going to strengthen. You're going to bind each other together. You'll keep each other in check, in fact, with that. You'll remind, oh, by the way, you know, by the way, my brother, we're talking about somebody. And I'll give again more helpful information on how to deal with that. Therefore, do not meddle with him that flatters with his lips. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20. In other words, they would say, don't hang out with a gossip. You don't want to be hanging out with a gossiper. And there are people that you are probably very familiar with, that's all that they do. They live their lives to the tune of as the world turns. And sometimes I've coined it as the church turns, because it happens within the very church of God. Proverbs 26, verse 20, where no wood is, the fire goes out. Where there's no talebearer, the strife ends. It ceases. Psalm 34. Let's go to the book of Psalms and we'll read a few here. In Psalm 34, and we'll begin here in verse 13. Psalm 34, verse 13. Psalm 34, verse 13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. And actually, you can continue. I'm sorry, I put here. Let me go back to where you all are already, because usually I'll have this printed out, but I wanted to read more from this psalm as it goes on. Psalm 34, verse 13. Let's continue, read on a little bit from there. Very interesting what it says. Let's verse 14, depart from evil, do good, seek peace. Pursue it. See, when we talk about peace, And then relate it, frankly, to the entire world scene. Peace is not easy, is it? I mean, I couldn't even imagine going over there and somebody saying, I want you to try to go work out peace between the Jews and the Arabs over there. And I was kind of going, you're talking about miracles here. You're really talking about miracles. How do you fix something like that? And yet, in the future, you and I may be instrumental in fixing some strife that has occurred over millennia, by the way. When you've heard sermons and Bible studies about where some of this has come from, it goes back a long, long way. And you can't just fix that like that. But God will give us the ability, and we're practicing it right now. So as we continue here, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance from them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as has a contrite spirit, the humble. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Then he even goes to the prophecy of what was going to happen in the future. Not one of them, not one of his, he guards his bones, and not one of them is broken. Evil will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him will be condemned. So it's a practice. Avoid, stay out of this. Do not become an ally of what Satan uses to destroy and divide. Psalm 35, verse 28. David says here, and my tongue will speak of your righteousness, of your praise all the day long. You know, when your tongue is doing that, there's no room for gossip. If that's all you're doing is good and talking about uplifting things, then there's no room for the negative, is there? You're already pushing that out. So in our mind, if we're always thinking positive and uplifting, people will notice that, by the way. You'll notice the difference between someone who's positive. Maybe you see that in work. I know there are people here that do. I mean, they're confronting bosses and cohorts that they just never have anything good to say. It's always negative, negative, negative. That'd be a hard environment to be around. Psalm 37, verse 30. Now, this is interesting here in this scripture. Psalm 37, verse 30. Let's take a look at this. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks about judgment. Do you know what word this is? It's a word that we went over a long time ago when I talked about the law. Do you remember that? Do you remember what the word for judgment was? It was the word called mishpat. Judgment. God's judgments. And the difference is, they're God's judgments, not mine. So whatever judgment I would render, I would have to make sure it would be in line with how God judges, how God looks at it. That's why Christ said in the New Testament, he goes, my judgment is just. Why did he say that? Do you remember? He goes, because I seek the will of my Father. Not even his own. Our Savior said that. I don't seek my own. I listen to what my Father says, and that's what I do. My judgment is just, and so will yours and I, if it's not what you may think about it, but what God may think about it. How does God look at this? Psalm 39, verse 1. Here it says, to the chief musician, even to Jeduthun, a psalm of David, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. And sometimes, you know, hold your tongue. Hold your tongue. Watch what you're doing. Oh, I want to say something so bad. And bridle it. Refrain. I've heard, now I've really said this, because after you go through it a few times, you learn, don't just say it anymore. Or don't just think about it. Actually say it. That when somebody says, you know, I've got a joke to tell. Maybe I shouldn't say this. Right away, I'll say, don't say it. Right away, I'll say, don't say it. I don't know of one yet that should have been said when somebody says that. So if they're thinking about it, I'll just go, don't even say it. There are too many other good jokes. You know, but you know what happens? That human nature in us, he said it's a good one. And now he just said it. Now, I'd really like to know what he's got to say. And then it becomes a bad one. You regret that he said it. So don't say it. Guard the tongue. So thinking about the things that we say before we do it is a wise thing to do. Proverbs, a couple other proverbs here. It says in Proverbs 15, verse 2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. It's very interesting. There's an article in a Christian Woman's Magazine. It's called "I Don't Mean to Gossip, But," from September-October 1987. Debbie Scales, in an article in Christian Women's Magazine, says this verse, when we were talking about speaking of not being a talebearer in Leviticus 19, don't go about as a talebearer. She says, this verse brings to mind the picture of a person making her way through the ranks of the already murmuring and unhappy Israelite travelers. As she goes up and down among the people, she whispers the latest news of the camp. She'll say, don't quote me on this, but I've heard that Moses may be on his way out. Can you imagine this? When Miriam and think of the entire picture. I've heard that Moses may be on his way out. You know, there are other men, who could lead just as well as Moses anyway, probably better. And by the way, have you noticed how the Zeriel family is always the first group to gather manna every morning? I probably shouldn't even mention it, but there's no need to be greedy, if you ask me. Oh, there goes those rambunctious Ashbel boys again. I do wish their parents would control them a little bit better. I don't like to talk about people, but the way that they let those boys behave is just a shame. And I'm thinking, have I heard that before? Absolutely. You know, when you think about that, how do you think it was back in the Israelite camp? It can be absolutely devastating. The little poem here by Henry Lester from the Darnell Corporation, they were no doubt doing a teamwork type thing within their business. He had mentioned, in the course of your conversation each and every day, think twice. Try to be careful of what you have to say. Your remarks may be picked up by someone's listening ear. You may be surprised at what some people think they hear. Things that you innocently say or try to portray can be changed and greatly exaggerated along the way. Many stories change for the worse as they are retold, so try to keep your question marks or questionable remarks on hold. May I give all you some very sound advice? When you speak of others, say something nice. Try to say good things, regardless of who is around. If you have nothing good to say, don't utter a sound. You may find that an innocent remark in the end may lose you a close and valued friend. Very interesting as it relates to all the scriptures that we've talked about. Now, when it comes to gossip going unchallenged, there may be a time for us to say something. And don't let it go unchallenged, is what I'm saying. If somebody is gossiping, then it's up to us to help our brother. Here are some common solutions, constructive ways maybe we can say to the person that's doing this, now, how can we help this person? I still remember a time in our church lives where there were a group of women that were talking about another woman's kids who had a lice problem. And they were all just out there gabbing about how this woman's kids did this. And I was going, really? You know, that and just outward, it's almost like you get more brazen if there's two and three of you, that it becomes easy to talk about somebody else. I mean, that's called a gossip form. And, you know, is a very wrong thing to do. And so outwardly that they had to be corrected. That's not how you deal. Yes, this person may have a problem. But is it helping for you to gossip about what's happening? So how, you know, by the way, you're talking about somebody. How do you think you can help them? Is there any solutions here? Or you could smile nicely and say, you know, I'm really not comfortable with this conversation. There's another answer. I'm sorry, but I'm not comfortable talking about this. Or how about reference to Matthew 18? You know, I see that you've got an issue. Have you spoken to this person? Because that's what the Bible says. You can do it kindly, But sometimes it'll have to take some courage on stepping up as a Christian to say, I've got to help my brother here now. They're talking about someone else or have a problem with someone else. This has happened so much because people, instead of going right to that person, they'll go to some, they need to talk to somebody about it, in which they should go to their brother. They end up talking to someone else. Or you could have a concerned outlook and say, you know, if this person knew that we were talking about them like this, they'd probably be real hurt. So we probably shouldn't do this. See, there are ways in our approaches that we can find out, and you can be praying about this if you ever come up on a situation like that. So when talking about someone else, it's always good to ask the question, am I gossiping, and following those points. Are we talking about ways to help someone or just talking? There may be somebody that's in need. So is it wrong to talk about somebody who's in need? No, not if you're talking about how constructive ways on how you can help them. Look, this person has just fallen into hard times and is been down for a while. How can we help them? That's not gossip. Is the person being lifted up or torn down? Would I be comfortable if this person were to walk in on our conversation? You know, there's a Chinese proverb that says, speak only well of people and you don't ever need to whisper. If that person walked in while you were talking about them, would you be embarrassed? Then we shouldn't be talking about them. So very important points and ways that the Bible speaks of how to deal with different situations. All of the sins of the tongue are deadly. Profanity, insults, lying, negativism, complaints, criticisms are all harmful. Gossip is particularly a deadly sin because it's destroyed more people, it's tarnished more reputations, it's broken more friendships, and split more churches than any sin that one can be aware of. Gossip is quickly told, quickly heard, and quickly spread. But worst of all, it's quickly believed. And people will confess to theft and adultery and even murder, but no one seems to confess to gossip. It's the one that goes hidden. It's the one that's easiest to hide. Me? Moi? I said that? Easily justified. Well, everybody knows that. Yes, everybody knows that because it's been passed around as gossip. That's why everybody knows it. That's what happens. One of the ones that says, if you heard of the terrible family, their name is they, and the dreadful, venomous things that they say, why, half the gossip under the sun, if you trace it back, you will find begun in that wretched house of they. You know what they've said. There are going to be times in conclusion when we'll have to speak about someone who's not present. We've got some guidelines in thinking about that, how we talk about one another. This is a great time as we approach Passover to talk about something that's so influential in our lives, because after this, guess what's happening? This is a crowd here in this congregation that's difficult even to get sit down for song services because we enjoy the fellowship and talking so much. The only thing that guy can stop us is by people bringing food. That halts us for a little time, but we enjoy the conversation. And yes, it's for the most part, it's always been very uplifting. And I have nothing personal to say here as a personal criticism because it's been very good fellowship. Just to put us in check as we conduct any conversation that we're doing, whether it's here in the church or at home among our family or friends or at work, to guard our tongues and what we're saying. May God help us to always speak of that person in the best possible light. And may God put a watch on all of our tongues so that we may avoid the sin of gossip.